We know you guys watching this are patrons. We have a new patron level here. It's called the Chef's Table for $10.
Oh, shit.
So I'm not going to do this because I don't want to interrupt the flow of the show, but you can go here. You can go to our Patreon and read this. It's a nice long description of exactly what you'll get. Let's just say we did everything in our power to make it worth it to you.
Yep.
So if you're already a $5 patron and you want to become a $10 patron, you know, take a look at that. See if you feel like it's worth it. We tried our best to make it worth it to you, so check that out. Sorry, Paul. Don't want to interrupt your flow.
No, it's fine. Yeah, but, you're right. We should have covered that. Good to let people know and shit.
Well, the reason we didn't is because there was so much fucking wrong with the audio when we started. But
the villain.
You want to set up the villain of the story?
Yes, stage right.
Courtney Love.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, Love and Cobain met on January 12th, 1990, in Portland's Satyricon nightclub, where they both still led ardent underground rock bands. So, she was in a rock band, he was in a rock band, they played a gig at this nightclub together and met. Love immediately made advances on him, and in fact, had a pretty sordid history of being a groupie, kind of made the rounds of the Seattle music scene looking for a boyfriend.
Yeah.
But she immediately made advances on Kurt, but Kurt was evasive. Early in their interactions, Cobain broke off dates and ignored Love's advances because he was unsure if he wanted a relationship. Cobain noted, "I was determined to be a bachelor for a few months, but I knew that I liked Courtney so much right away that it was a really hard struggle to stay away from her for so many months." So he clearly liked her too, but coming off the sour end of two or three failed relationships, was kind of like, maybe not. But eventually, he relented.
I mean, let's be real here, too. I mean, Kurt was... I mean, I'm not saying he didn't have his aggressive streak, but you can tell that he was more of a passive-aggressive person. Courtney Love is not passive-aggressive. She's just aggressive. So, I mean, I think that in a lot of ways, she probably domineered and bullied him into having this relationship.
But maybe
he wanted that, too. You know?
Dave Grohl apparently played a pretty big role in setting them up, though. Because,
well, you could see him, that's him in between them right there.
Kurt talked to Dave about Courtney, and Kurt, Dave was like, you know, here's what she's into, here's the type of stuff she likes, and a lot of it was stuff that he was into. And so he decided to go ahead and relent and go on a date with her. And they dated pretty exclusively for about a year. In late 91, they were often together and were bonded through drug use. So it was at this point in Kurt's career that heroin really started to enter his life. Whether or not he was, I doubt he was introduced to it by Courtney, but it became a problem.
Which one was worse for him? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
That's a question.
I posed that to the audience.
In 92, a few days after the conclusion of Nirvana's Pacific Rim tour, Cobain and Love were married in Waikiki. This is a picture from that marriage. Love wore a satin and lace dress once owned by Frances Farmer, who's a feminist icon from Seattle. And Cobain donned a Guatemalan purse and wore green pajamas because, quote, he had been too lazy to put on a tux. Eight people were in attendance at the ceremony, including, obviously, Dave Grohl.
Dude, I wonder if this was all part of Dave Grohl's plan to eventually...
to take Nirvana?
Yeah, you know.
Look into the sky to save me. Yep, maybe he wanted it.
Maybe he's like, you know what? I want my own success as a band. I can handle it. How do I kill this guy and have no one blame me? I know. I'll set him up with with human rat poison in the form of Courtney Love.
Yeah, man, because we're already on top of the fucking world, dude. I mean, if anything, as a brief diversion, Dave Grohl, that was astonishing. He's had a lot of staying power. I mean, whether you like his music or not, he's been very successful even after Nirvana, which is honestly pretty rare.
Chris Novoselic is just a successful dude.
No, he's just a fat middle-aged man now, kind of just chilling.
Yeah.
In an interview with The Guardian, Love revealed the opposition to their marriage from various people. Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth sits me down. This is a quote from her, and says, "If you marry him, your life is not going to go anywhere. Your life is not going to happen. It will destroy your life. But I said, whatever. I love him, and I want to be with him. It wasn't his fault. He wasn't trying to do that to me.
Sonic Youth is, in my opinion, one of the worst fucking bands, period. So
I'm not a big fan either.
Yeah, we saw them live at Voodoo Fest, maybe me and TJ, like maybe 14 years ago or something.
Kurt, however, was a big fan.
No accounting for taste.
No account for taste, right?
Yeah.
Love was already pregnant with their daughter when they got married. And Frances Bean Cobain, I think I neglected to pull a picture of her, but maybe TJ can find one.
I got one. I'm on it.
Was born August 8th, 1992. A sonogram of the couple's as-yet-born baby was included in the artwork for Nirvana's single Lithium. So they used her, Frances Bean Cobain's, and obviously her first name was after Frances Farmer, the, once again, feminist icon. So that's Kurt, Courtney, and Frances being there. It's like a happy little kid at this point in her life. You know, you can tell, even with toddlers like this, if they got a lot of turmoil at home. She looks like a pretty bright-eyed little kid, you know?
Yeah, I heard she has a similar feeling about her dad that Kurt had about his, which is she wants nothing to do with him.
isn't that the way
it
goes? I mean,
she doesn't have to because he's dead, but...
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, that's true. She doesn't... a lot of shit about Kurt.
Yeah, she basically is like, I don't see what the big deal is about him. He's a piece of shit. Fuck him, basically.
So, Kurt Cobain's first experience with heroin occurred earlier, sometime in 1986.
This is her today, by the way, if I can get her to Frances Bean, pop up.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Frances Bean later. There's an actual late-breaking news story
related
to the Kurt Cobain universe, so we'll talk about that.
Interesting
later.
How that works sometimes with this show.
I went looking for shit about Kurt today to finish up research on this and found a news story about him, so pretty cool. Let's see. He started doing heroin for the first time in 1986. It was administered to him by a local drug dealer in Tacoma, Washington, who was previously dealing him oxycodone.
Should have stuck with the oxys.
Yep. He used heroin sporadically for several years, but by the end of 1990, his use had developed into a full-fledged addiction. Cobain claimed that he was determined to get a habit as a way to self-medicate his stomach condition. Now, once again, we're talking about... Is this true? Was Kurt mythologizing himself and just...
Or was he just making an excuse
matter? You're right.
Like many fans, when we look at the past, we just don't know.
Right, we don't know. But you gotta, you know, it's a big question mark, and unfortunately one that'll probably never be answered.
Almost certainly never will be answered.
Unless Paul build a time machine.
He quoted himself on heroin here. He didn't quote himself. I'm quoting him.
I'm going to quote myself.
He said, it started with 3 days in a row of doing heroin, and I don't have a stomach pain. That was such a relief. However, his longtime friend Buzz Osborne disputes this, saying that his stomach pain was more likely caused by his heroin use, saying he made it up for sympathy and so that he could use it as an excuse to stay loaded.
Heroin makes you, a lot of opiates make you constipated.
And vomit.
Yeah.
I said, of course he was vomiting. That's what people on heroin do. They vomit. It's called vomiting with a smile on your face. So that's his friend Buzz. So who knows if that's just him trying to snipe at him after his death or if there's any truth to that.
I mean, another thing that heroin does, you get these nods, and it's a great painkiller. Most people that I've known that have done heroin just say, like, you know, what you've asked them, why do you do heroin? They always like, oh, well, you just feel great. Any of the pain you have in your life, you just don't give a shit about it, or you just don't feel it or don't care.
So in a 1992 article in Vanity Fair, Courtney Love admitted to using heroin, not knowing that she was pregnant. However, Love claimed that Vanity Fair had misquoted her. But the event created a giant media firestorm for the couple. While Cobain and Love's romance had always been a media attraction, they found themselves hounded by tabloids and articles and articles and articles on top of articles, just speculating all kinds of crazy shit about their private lives.
They just became tabloid fodder at that point. It was like you go to the grocery store and you see shit and it's all like...
They were... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
You know, Courtney Love on heroin, Kurt... I mean, cause at this point, this is Kurt at the height of his fame. I mean, and of course, whoever he's fucking is also going to be... And a lot of people have accused Courtney Love of a big thing as being a fame hound. But, you know, I mean, Kurt wasn't quite huge when they met, but he also wasn't nobody.
Yeah. You know, they were at one point apparently barraged with media requests, all of them wanting to talk about whether or not Frances Bean had been born addicted to heroin, which, take a look at this little child, she was fine. Love claimed later that she ceased doing heroin upon learning that she was pregnant. So it sounds like she probably maybe did heroin a couple of times before she knew she was pregnant, but she was not. I don't know, dude. I don't see a heroin baby when I look at little Frances Bean here.
No.
I don't know. She seems pretty happy, you know?
Yeah, maybe she's high as fuck.
She's
who knows?
She's fucking tripping, dude. She's rolling.
So that kind of covers up to the, you know, the suicide. And I labeled this section of my notes, suicide?
Question mark.